hope that there will be a message. I hope that there might be some secrets. But I'll tell you, the title has nothing to do with anything, really. Rabbi Schneider was calling me and bugging me because I think Rabbi Almanay was calling him and bugging him. I need a title. I'm like, listen, I'm in the middle of the bath. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. So he said, fine, call back tomorrow. So he calls back tomorrow. And of course, I didn't think about it at all. I'm like, listen, I don't have a title for you. He, but I need a title. Right? Dr. Almanay says, yeah. So I'm like, look, write whatever you want. Write, the secret of, the secret of this, the secret of that, like the secret message right away. See, I guess he took me seriously, which is fine. I mean, it wasn't his fault. I mean, I wasn't being, forward with him. I didn't give him any answers. So, and that's why the title is, I had no secrets. I might have some secrets, but I hope I have a message. The message part is true. Avram Willing part, I think, is true. So we'll see what we can get. We can go with this. Chodesh Tov Mevarach. I hope it's a wonderful. It's a story with all these things here. When how that happens suddenly. I hope that we can. We'll have a lot of Hatzlacha this month. I don't know about you, but my life usually during this time of year is blue. It's kind of, it's tough. It's a little down, after the holiday leaves. I don't know, there's a lot of blues to go around. A lot of people have the blues after the holidays. And we need to be strong. We need to be strong. We need to be mechazek. Mischazek and mechazek are others. I'm not kidding. I mean it very seriously. And it's always a tough time. For Yeshiva Baruch Hu, it's sometimes a little easier because they did nothing for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just stared at the four walls. So they're like overjoyed to start learning. But to at least have something, to do something. But for those who didn't take my advice, if this applies to you, please come up right after the class so I can give you a smack. Because my last class I gave in this seat a month ago was don't do that. If you didn't listen to me, you're a shite. Alright. So that's I think I was considering giving a whole shiur about this, I think there's a lot to say about this topic. It's an important topic. Serving the Rebbeinu Shalom when you're, when things are not so rosy. That's part of Avodas Hashem. It's very important, very, very important to realize that Avodas Hashem is Avdus, even though we don't. Western man, excuse my cold, everything I say sounds weird. I was trying to quote the Rabban. So I said to my wife, I was telling my wife, the Rabban says, so she says, she goes, the Rabban? R-A-B-A-D. So I'm like, no, the Rabban. She says, oh, the Rabban. Oh, yeah, okay, it's the Rabban. So what does Rabban say? So like, you forgive me, it's like, the M's and N's are disastrous. Because if you have a cold, they don't work at all. So I gave up. I'm saying this now because I feel like a little embarrassing. No. But I almost stopped trying to say the. It's okay. I stopped trying to say the M's. I just go with the B's. So I'm like, that's amazing. Because anyway, it takes so much effort to say that's amazing, and it doesn't sound right. Anyway, it sounds like amazing. I keep on telling my wife, that's amazing. Anyway, all right. So you forgive me. I'm sorry. Okay. So yeah. So it's important to be. Wow. Thank you. It's important to be over Hashem at all times, in all places, in Avdus. You know what I'm saying? Western man doesn't appreciate this, but we didn't go out of Mitzrayim. I mean, in a certain sense, we went a little bit out of Mitzrayim, right? The going out part, the Mitzrayim part is true, but the Avdus part is not true. We never left Avdus Chalila. We bend our shoulders down and we accept the all Malchus Shemayim. We're not pouring all. So we left. In fact, it's one of the reasons, believe it or not, that's what the Shla writes. It's one of the reasons why Bechlali went to Mitzrayim, so we understand Avdus. We could understand Avdus. How could we understand Avdus? We do what we want. We're fat, rich, important. Avraham Avinu, we was a Nasi. These guys were billionaires. Next week's parasha. Important people who we have to listen to, do this, do that. What are you talking about? What kind of Avdus? They didn't have mitzvahs. They had no Avdus. So you understand? So it takes development to learn how to be an Eved, right? So Avodas Hashem means that you have to. It's difficult. I'm certainly talking to myself. It's difficult to do, but David HaMelech taught this to us. David HaMelech, no matter what, right? What's he doing? He's convening with the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's very busy. He has a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. I say it all the time. He says, Kosi Shuas Esa, Hashem Hashem Ekra. But he also says, Tzara V'yagon Hemtov Hashem Hashem Ekra. What does it mean, Tzara V'yagon Hemtov Hashem Hashem Ekra? Rishon Abed. I can ask whatever I want. Right? Tzara V'yagon Hemtov Hashem Hashem Ekra. Who wants to be, who wants to please explain those words? Yeah. I find Tzara and Tzaras. I find difficulty. And what do? I turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's really boring, David, King David. You just said that about when you're in a good mood, you turn to God. He's like, let me tell you about this. When I'm in a good mood, I turn to God. And then he's like, oh, when I'm in a terrible mood, yeah, I turn to God. Interesting. Yeah? Like, very expressive there, right, King David. Right? So the point is, but you think that service, think that relating to the Marshal and singing and dancing is make up the guru? He's singing the guru when he has relates to them. It's his own difficulty. Yeah. Right? So the Gemara says, in your favorite Masechta, yeah? Your favorite Masechta. Right? V'av tes Hashem l'kecha b'chol v'av, v'chol 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 v'edecha. Yeah, what does it mean to b'chol v'edecha? If you go to yeshiva for 100 years, and you're able to be mafdim, to internalize this teaching, you're a proper yid. You're a yid. You're a yid. If you could live this thing, you're a yid. You're a mamash yid. But before we... Let me first say the teaching. What does it say in your favorite Masechta? B'chol b'yadecha. What does the Gemara say? Okay, that's also true. B'chol what? What does it mean? It means that whatever situation you find yourself in, your life sucks. Yeah? You have to love God. How about that? Very, very complicated. It's a very, 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 very complicated. It's very complicated. And I don't mean like, God forbid, someone dies and you're all thoughtful. I mean like in the busy, annoying, frustrating, down, difficult beginning and difficult time. Yeah, yeah. Love God. It's extremely difficult to be kind of this. I find. It's easy to love God but when you no matter b'chol nido, whatever the emotion throws you away, that's the way you have to love it. So challenging. Right, but then here's an opportunity, right? After Yom, everything was beautiful and great, and now it's like, oh, black. You know, like the whole winter's coming, and Yom is over, and back to being very busy and very. And he was so close. That's what's the most painful. He had such kiva to the Rebbeinu Shalom, so much kiva. Now it's gone. There's no kiva. I mean, it's kiva. It's not the same, right? Down, it's difficult, right? So you have an opportunity to try to love the Rebbeinu Shalom during that time. Let's look at the bright side of a bad situation, right? One more. There's a lot more about this, but not for right now. But I want to mention one more reading of the pasuk, Kriya Shema. Where it says, same pasuk, b'shachmacha v'kubecha. Right? We say, we develop this ava b'shachmacha v'kubecha. If I heard from Chassidish Pshat, we say, what does it mean b'shachmacha v'kubecha? Right? You should love the Rabbanu Shalom when you lie down, when you get up, right? Right, that's the simple interpretation. We go at night, we go to sleep, we wake up in the morning. But it's also true, that figuratively, when we're b'shachmacha, when things are not so rosy, when we don't have a yomtiv for another 2 months, yeah, when it's going to get freezing and cold, and it gets dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what I'm saying? The coming up kufa is a difficult kufa, right? That's why it's called bar cheshvan. There's no yomim tov. It's difficult. It's a difficult kufa. I'll say it like it is. Right? There's no breaks. There's nothing to look forward to. Nothing. You have 2 months, you know, straight. You don't have one. Nothing. Yeah. So the point is, that where do we go? You know, where do we look forward to? What do we? Right? The answer, just eternally, is you know. Oftentimes, I talk about Torah. We talk about, you know, the concept of Torah being read during this, focused on during this tkufa. Torah gets us through this, right? It's true. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that we read the parsha of Noach after, you know, during this time period. It's like, which also, by the way, happened during Baruch Hashem. It's raining. You know, it's like dark. It's lonely. And of course, that's a little chizik. That's a little chizik. Uvukubecha. It's also true when things are good, when things go well for you. You don't just complain to God when you have bad things happen to you. When good things happen to you, you forget about God. There's no atheist in a foxhole. That's true. And what about at a wedding hall? There might be more atheists at a wedding hall. Why? Patch. You deserve a patch for that. So that goes good, well for you. You also have to love the Rabbanu Shalom to realize how much, you know, how you have to lay to Rabbanu Shalom when things are good and when things are down, are not so perfect, not so wonderful. So that's a little chizek for the beginning of this man. When Rabbi Schneider told me to speak today, he told me that you have a shir klali bi'id rav in the second half of the afternoon, and that I should speak divrei chizuk. That's the way he described it to me. Usually this time is a nice time that I could theoretically have a chance to learn with you other things. But I don't know, I think Rabbi Yudin's doing that next, is that right?
Yeah.
So I'm the opener. I'm the opening act, Rabbi Yudin. So I want to discuss with you a little secret message that I always think about during these parashios. There's a lot of messages, but I'd like to consider two of them. I'm gonna try to mesh. Got that? Besh them. We'll try to besh them. But the truth is that they're both important. I just don't get a chance to talk to you so often. So we'll start with one, and then we'll kind of move into the other. Okay. Excuse me for 1 second. I want to tell you that I have not forgotten, for those who were listening, those who were here, that the first part of my remarks I mentioned last year, I think it was Parshas Bereishis. I was here for Shabbos. I didn't forget that, and I thought about whether I would share with you Torah that I, again, there's a minimal amount of people here who would have, if they were here at all, at that time, they were here for that Shabbos, and they were listening. It's also a Chiddush. So, for them, it's certainly not, it's not negative to hear some of these remarks again. I can only tell you, halavai, we should be able to be mafnim to internalize this, some of the ideas that we're talking about today. I think they're so critical. One of the most important things, you know, Baruch Hashem, and I hope that we'll be able to take them with us. What do I have until?
4 or whenever.
Ouch. I don't have till whenever? I was taking advantage of the fact that I have till whenever.
I said 4 or whenever.
Or whenever. Oh, okay. Because when is the reunion going?
5:30.
So you're supposed to prepare before that or something like that? You're supposed to prepare at 5:30 or at 4? I didn't realize that. All right. Let's start. Being that we didn't discuss, we didn't talk about anything last week, and I'm sure I'm not, it's not much to talk about, that's not what it's here this week, I figured I would discuss a joint issue, so that we can learn from both of the parashas, and as I said, I have two things to tell you, but we'll start with the first. When the Rebbe Shem created the world, he created everything in bulk. Many fish, many birds, many cattle, everything. Many trees, many mountains, a lot of foliage, everything in mass production. We created many insects, and all the animals and stars and everything. There's one exception. And that is, he created man by himself. Adam, he created levad. Yes. Okay, so we created two of them. There was one exception. Oh. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. He created two fish, two giant fish, but they couldn't fill the world. They were going to destroy the world. They were too big. So that's why he shechted them, so they couldn't procreate. They couldn't. But I guess by definition, in this world, if we would have created three, it already would have been no world. I don't know if you're referring to the Rashi. So if you read the Rashi carefully, what I said answers your question. Okay. So, except for man. Now, what's the reason for that? What's the reason why the Rebbe Shem didn't create a world like he created Adam, he created all other creations? In fact, let's go further. In fact, the very first commandment, see that the Rebbe Shem tells Adam after he created him, is the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. Hashem says to Adam, "Vayivarech Osam," and he says, "Hold on." He says to them, "Vayivarech Osam Elohim Vayom Lahem Elohim Pru Revu Melu Asaretz V'Kivshua." HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, here's what I want you to do. Go get busy when you have a lot of children. That's what he says to him. A lot of children. Fill up, how many children, God? Fill up the world with children. So Hashem wants to, he says, I want the world populated with human beings. All right. Okay, so if you, if, 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 That's what you want, Rabbi Hashem, and you did that by all other beings. So why did you do that for Adam also? Why did you do that? Right? Can you open the windows, please? Why did Rabbi Hashem create other many people? Would it be great? It would have been better. If that's what he wants. Okay? So, what's the answer to this question? What's the answer to this question? So, you know the answer. Say it again? Okay. So, you know what? Do you mind if I say that? Okay. Just a matter of time. I don't really have time for the discussion. But it's kind of speak. It's just rhetoric. I didn't mean to. Okay. So what's the answer to this question? So the answer to this question we can find in the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's really a Mishnah that discusses this in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says on the Flamed Zion that the Mishnah says that when Edom would come to try to put someone to death, right? When the Edom would come, so they have a lot of power, they can kill someone very easily with their word. So we're scared. We don't want them to just kill someone if they're not really guilty. So what do we tell them? What do we say to them? So we say, look, we're going to accept your testimony. Once you talk, you talk. But you realize, you talk, you're going to kill these people. Right? Now you're going to kill this person, let's say. Now this guy, he might be innocent. He's a human being. You're snuffing out a life. Right? And we try to make him recognize how significant the life of a human being is. We try to make him recognize, and we talk this way in order so that he be intimidated. In order that he be intimidated. Not that they be intimidated, is Edom. Not that they should lie, chas v'shalom. Right? Just say the truth. But if they are already lying, if what their claim is not true, they won't continue the claim because they're going to kill this person. We want you to realize how important a person is. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara there says that it's also the Gemara that the Lamed Zayin of an Aleph, the Gemara continues the Lamed Ches of an Aleph. The Gemara discusses this. That we tell these Eidim, listen, understand the following. Hevu Yodin, you should know. Shaloka Dini Mabad is Dini Nefashas. It's not like a monetary law. Dini Mabad is Adam Nosei Mabad Miskaber law. Dini Nefashas, Domo Vadam Zarosa, Tlui Batsaf Ha'olam. Shekin Batsinu Bekayin Sheharagas Achav. Achiv. Shenemar, Dmei Achicha Tzuakim. Ain't no more dam achicha, el the dmei achicha. Dama with dam zarab, dama racha. One second. Dama racha, dmei achicha shahaya. Okay, whatever, that's something else. Mefichach, listen carefully. Mefichach, divra ada bichidi. Lelamedcha shekola ma'abed nefesh achas bi Yisrael, ma'ala alav hakasov ki ilu ibed ola malim. That's what we tell the Edom. Look! Recognize that if you kill this guy, number one, you're killing him forever. That's just him. It's him and his children and everyone that will ever come out of him. And you should understand how important he is. You should understand how important he is. Because the whole world, right, was created for one person. The whole world is created for one person because the whole world was worth creating for one person. Understand the concept. Right? The whole world was worth creating for one person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that in order to show us how important. how important we are. We should realize that we're chashiv enough that the whole world should be created for us. Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Pluto, something. Yeah? The continents, the oceans, the same billions of trees, and billions of, you know, animals, everything. The whole world is worth it just for what, just for me. Just for me. That's how chashiv I am. And then the Mishnah continues. The bottom line here. The Mishnah says, Lefichach, listen to these words, I must say. Lefichach kol echad ve'echad, therefore every person, Chayav Lomer, needs to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Now this whole Mishnah, I didn't translate word for word, I assume. You should have been, you know what the words mean. But again, Lefichach, therefore a person, kol echad ve'echad, every person, Chayav Lomer, needs to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world is created for me. The whole world was created for me. A person is obligated, by both sides. It doesn't say he could say. Chayav Adam Lomar. Chayav. Chayav Lomar v'shvili nivra olam. A person has to, he's obligated to say and to recognize that the world is created for me. By both sides. As I often find myself saying, this is not a cute Hasidic pshat. This is a Mishnah Chas. Yeah? This is Torah Misira. This is the way the Rebbe created the world. These are basic hashkafa and yadas. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in this way so that Josh would realize how chashiv he is. That Charlie would recognize how chashiv he is. And Yossi would realize how chashiv he is. That's the pshat. That's the emes. It's so emistic. We say, listen, you know who you're about to kill? Do you know who you're about to kill? You're about to kill original man, Adam. And if you kill him, that's it. It's as if like the whole world, you know, the whole purpose of the world is just for Adam. You're killing him. You're killing this person. You know how important he is? The whole world is created just for him. Just for him!
Be careful.
You're messing with God's plan. Don't kill him. Unless it's, I mean, if he's guilty, but don't lie. Now understand that the Rebbe had a plan. He created the world in such a way that he created it wrong. And the fact that he did this with man, so to speak, was not quote unquote good for him. It was against his creation plan. It's not what was good for him. What did he want? He wanted the power of the world. And that's indeed, that's exactly what he said. Get busy, for the rule of all his evidence. But he did what was, so to speak, bad for him. But it was worth it. It was invested. Because that would develop the kind of man he wanted to create. That would develop the man who would realize, wow, look how chashiv I am. I am chashiv. Now consider the following. Yodi Bardash wakes up on a Tuesday morning. And he looks at the mirror and he says, I stink. I'm short, not good looking, not intelligent, you know, no one likes me. Or maybe the opposite of all those things. But you know what? What do I have to offer the world today? I'm tired, I'm going back to sleep. I'm not so important. Shame on you! The Rebbe Shem smacks you and says, you chutzim. An example I like to give. The example I like to give, right, is that your father takes off from work. You know, he wakes you up in the morning and says, guess what? I took off from work. I had a big meeting today. I took off. And so what? I lost $50,000 somewhere. I lost it, but you know why I did it? I know you don't like school. You don't have to go to school today. I'm taking you skiing. And you look at dad and say, Dad, I'm going to play in the arcades. Made up with my pal. I'm going to have burgers. Play the arcade. So what's the father feeling? He says, you're such a chutzpah. Not only did I Then all the Yadus are good to you. I was most in Nefesh for me. I did something that I didn't want. It's not good for me. But I only did it for you. And now you're gonna screw it. You're gonna mess up my plan. My whole plan was to make you great. To make you happy. And now you're gonna tell me it's such a smack to God's face. How dare we? Such a chutzpah, shame on us. Not only to miss the message, but to throw mud in God's face and say, you know what, God, listen, I stink. What do you mean? How could you have done? How can we even consider such a possibility? But I want to tell you, we all know, you know as well as I do, that in today's world, it's one of the greatest difficulties that human beings today, this century, this we face. Raise your hand if you know someone who doesn't go to a therapist. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone in the world, that's what they're busy with. And this, and they're low, and they're down, and upset, and they think this, they can't do this, they can't do that. And you know what? That's not the Ratzon Hashem. That's negative. If you think badly of yourself, if you have a negative self-image, you are Russian. Whoa. Heavy. You're a sinner. It's an Aveira. If you think that you're not Chashuv, so I want to speak to you after this year. I'll teach you. I'll give you a few punches. How dare you think that you're not Chashuv? The Rav Asher been created a world for a reason. He didn't have to create you. Who do you think you are? You could be a Chashuv. You could be nobody. The Russia created you. You're not entitled to an opinion that you're not important. You're not entitled to that opinion. The Russia is smarter than you, and granted, you can say you are important. Who are you arguing? You didn't have to be born. I want to remind you. It was God, as the Gemara Titus, who decided that you should be born. So, what are you an apicarius? You don't believe in Teretaris Moshe? You don't believe in the Kabbalah we have? You don't believe in the Mishnayos? Are you going to say that you're not important? You're an Avayim. You're an Avayim. If you say something like that, you're an Avayim. This is what we see from the story. And you know what? After the Rabbanu Shalom got so angry at man that he decided he wanted to destroy them. So guess what? He recreates the world again in that fashion. Right? Again. Just for Noach. He does it again! And maybe you could suggest he does it again also. He wants to teach the same lesson. You get it chop the first time? Okay. Chop the sentences. Maybe you should figure it out now. Right? That the whole world is worth creating just for you, Noach. Just for you. Right? And that's the message. I want to tell you something. If you read the story, if you read Chumash with Rashi and Chazal, right? You realize that that's part of what happened here. What happened here was that Adam had a tremendous nefila, and that he thought, whatever, he's not so important anyway. And you realize that if. Now, originally, when God created Adam, it's possibly the difference between the tzibur and Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach. Hashem said to Adam, here's the menu. You eat what the cows eat. Whatever Betsy eats, that's what you eat. They have the same exact menu. But you know what happened? Bnei Adam didn't get the message. They didn't chop, they didn't realize how chashuv they missed this. They didn't realize how important they were. You know what? They started acting like animals. What do animals do? They steal from each other. Yeah? They're not, they just sleep with whoever they want. Yeah? They're not moral, they're animals. Because they're animals. It's true. And that was the downward spiral of man. They began to do things that were despicable and disgusting. And they were stealing from one another. And they were immoral. They couldn't stay in the relationship between even God and them. So God destroys the world and recreates it. What does he tell them? He says, guys, okay, here's the story. You're eating animals. New halacha. So isn't that incredibly strange? Have you considered that question? Suddenly, Hashem says, okay, this is what you should do. You eat animals. And last week Hashem says, you don't eat animals. You only eat vegetation. It's a psukim. It's a psukim. You noticed it. A psukim. So what happened? What changed? What changed? Right? So already in the Sefer Ikkarim writes this. It's been a while since I've seen it. But I think he even says this way. If I'm not mistaken. Certainly in the early Bali Machshava says. Right? That what happened was that man started to really think that he's like an animal. He didn't see himself any greater than an animal. So the Mela Hashem says, listen, well, we have to establish your dominion. Right? Your dominion. And establish your Beshita. Beshita, you have to you're greater. Right? We need to see our own greatness. You need to recognize your own greatness. You're not an animal. You're chashub. You can't consider yourself, you can't lower yourself. Consider yourself unimportant and low. And that's what it says the pasuk says. You say this all the time, every day. Right? What does it mean, that pasuk in Tehillim chapter 30? What does it mean? Translate that. I'll give you one shekel if you can translate that pasuk. According to the Art Scroll translation. One shekel. Anyone in this room can translate that pasuk. Translate that. That phrase. Translate. One shekel. What? So now we will sing below you down, okay? But you skipped one word.
What is it?
So you'll be honored. That's a literal translation. Alright. But that does that make sense? Lavad Zamarcha Kava, we'll sing to you. Kava, it sounds like Kava is the noun. I guess you could say that.
No, so that will sing to you.
To you honor.
So you'll be honored.
Right, I don't think that's the way that I have to look at that translation. Art school, I haven't seen it. But if I'm not mistaken, I will give you a shekel, but if I'm not mistaken, Rashi translated differently. What does it mean, anyone? Very hard translation. Kavod is defined. Bardash, you're not sleeping, are you? Bardash! L'bani zavrach ha-kavod! What does kavod mean? Kavod means soul. Look at Rashi. I have to see. I just looked at Rashi myself. The Mepharshim did. L'bani zavrach ha-kavod. So that my soul will sing to you! Adam, who has who was created by Tzelem Elokim, he has a nefesh, he has a neshama, it's referred to as kavod. Because that's what it means to be to have a neshama. If you realize you're a Tzelem Elokim, you are a piece of kavod, you're a piece of the Rebbe Lishon. Right? You are, a person is bechubad. I'll give you a little example. Pardon me if this sounds like Musa. I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe it's just my sensitivity, but for a person to eat standing up, just be standing there eating, it seems to me that it's not godly, it's not holy, it's not covered. It's not befitting for a yid, someone who's a better kid. It's like standing in public, just like eating, it's difficult for me to understand. To coalesce, having a neshama and being a Tzelem Elokim, and the whole world is created for me, and I'm eating like fast food like this, like in front of it, just doesn't something's incongruous. The whole world, you have to realize, again, chayav, a person is obligated to say, bishulini b'ra'ayim. I always like to say when I mention this, right? The Torah that I heard from the Rebbe, Shmuel Brazil, Shlita, who said, I don't have a thing. But he says that some of us might think to ourselves, you know what? It's true that the Rebbe Shem created the world for us. It's okay. But don't you realize that maybe he created it for us, but now we do have heirs. And maybe we're lowered. and lowered. So if you take those words at the Bishda, it's Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin, you read them carefully. It says Chayav, Tefichach. This is the word, Tefichach. Chayav. Yeah. Oh, gosh, look at the Bishda, who is sick. There's a Chiddush. Tefichach. Watch this. Kol Echad Ve'Echad, Chayav, Chas, Lomar, Lamed. Bishvili, Divra, Divra, Ha'ola. What does it spell? Chalbada. What's the Chalbada? The guitarist that smells like what? Smells like cleft. It's disgusting. It smells awful, right? That's what the Gemara says in Priestess, right? Whatever, not for now. But it says that Chalbada represents a sinner of Israel. But you know what? Israel doesn't smell good unless you also have the low people of Israel. That's why the Gemara says there that's what we say. What's it called? Yeshiva shehel balo. Yeshiva shel balo. Yeshiva shehel bato. Yeah. Anu batirim lehispalal ima avar yadin. Sounds familiar? What the heck is that? I called you there. What is that? That's because the Gemara says that a fast, without a Russia, without people are of Jews who don't follow the, who are sitters, it's not a proper fast. You need sitters. So I once heard from Rabbi Moshe Heinovich, Shlita, he told me that when he was a bachur in Lakewood, you know Rabbi Heinovich, the star K? When he was a bachur in Lakewood Yeshiva, 60 years ago, right, or whatever, 50 years ago, Rabbi Aaron Cutler would pay this total Abba Aretz Jew in Lakewood. There's no sinners. It's Lakewood. Right? He would pay this, he would hire, pay some total Abba Aretz Jew to sit in the shul in the Beis Medrash on Yom Kippur. To be kind of this Gemara. He would sit in his cowboy boots. He would sit in his leather cowboy boots on Yom Kippur. He would sit there in the shul because Aaron Cutler wanted to be there. Right? So the point is, that's a concept. That don't think that Am Yisrael is only good without you. Chayav Lomar Bishvili Ba'alav even refers to a sinner, to a chayav. Every person, every Jew, even a sinning Jew, still the world is good. How about that? And Maharaya, all right, give me a raya. The Rebbe Shem Taka created the world for other Rishon. How long did he last without sin? He was also a sinner. Oh, the Marisha was a Chayday! And the Russian created the world for him! How about that? That's a pretty good Raya! So don't say, oh, it used to be good, but I did have errors. No. Still the world was created for you. Betzelem Elokim. As the Pasuk says, right, Tehillim, that other is Ma'at Elokim. A man is like just a little bit below the Rebbeinu Shem. That's what it says. In fact, Rashi Bereshit talks about how Adam and Malachim are comparable, they're similar. Malachim are, so to speak, it's hard to say this exactly, but they're created, B'Tzelem Elokim in the upper spheres, L'mayla. That's what Rashi writes. And Adam is created B'Tzelem Elokim, L'mata, right? To make it even. So we are like little gods, so to speak, there, godly, so to speak, and there are like created the image of God above, and that's it. That's where the B'Tzelem Elokim. So you realize that. You realize that we're chashiv. You know, Rav Kook writes, I want to tell you something. Rav Kook writes that part of the, this is fascinating, when the moon, everybody knows the story of the moon, right? The Marakat and the Maragadol, when the moon did what it did, and so to speak, it made a mistake. Moses' mistake. So everyone has one shot, and we understand it one way, and Rav Kook says, you have it wrong. What happened with the moon? No, help me out. The bar is like the other two, they're the same size, and the moon complained and said,
two kings wear one crown.
Two kings? We can't both wear one crown. So we understand that he was what? He was a chazer. He was trying to say, oh, I'm better. Says Rav Kook, no! You know what that bear was? He said, I'm going to be the melech. I'm the co-king of all the Moshe. You can't. Two people are going to be the king. It's not good. Does that sound familiar? How often do we cop out? How easy it is to be simple, to be small. How easy is it? So much more comfortable to be a loser. So much more comfortable. No, if you're a loser anyway, that's something else. But I'm saying, but it's so much more comfortable to be a failure, because then you don't have the pressure of having to produce, of having to win, of having to be big, of having to be strong, of having to be powerful, of having to be successful, of having to do the best, get the best grade, do the best, learn the best. No. So much easier to just be small. But you're an variant. I tell you, we're Rishon. We're doing Averis when we do it. How dare could we consider ourselves as not Chashim? I want to tell you, when I say this over, I always think of the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It's a very, very powerful Pasuk. But when Shmuel comes to Shaul and says, Shaul, what did you do? I told you to kill Amalek! And you didn't listen! And Shaul's like, he's pumping around over there. He's not saying anything. Right? He's saying, I did! I was supposed to! I tried to! Of course I did! So, Shmuel cuts it down with scathing words. He says to him, listen to these words. Hayomer, hold on. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yudzayin, listen to these words. Hayomer Shmuel. Shmuel says to Shaul HaMelech, right? The Tzaddik, right? The Bechir Hashem. He says to him, Halo im Katon Ata Be'enecha, Rosh Shifte Yisrael Ata. Wow. What Musar? We're expecting he's going to say, you're a zero. You're a Russian. He says to him, you know what? You're fired. He says, why am I fired? Right? He goes, maybe you're small in your own eyes, but your Rabbanu Shalom crowned you as Melech Yisrael. And you failed to carry the crown. You failed to act big. You failed to act chashuv and important. To think of ourselves negatively? To think that we're silly and stupid and have no self-respect? Yeah, maybe that's what I'm starting to go back to it. Maybe that's what the media wants us to think. Yeah, great. They get more money. The dumber you are, the dumber the population is, the more they're going to sit on the couch and do nothing. Yeah, show me what else they want to show me. Right? If you can't think for yourself and you're just have no brain, so they love it. They love that you're so unintelligent that all you have to do is get entertained by them all day. You can't think for yourself and shop for yourself. You can't even dress yourself. They have to tell you, listen, this is what you have to do like this. Put on your socks this way. You're insulting me. You're insulting me. Like, I know what rabbi, he wouldn't allow these things on his table. They're like, advertisements. You know, milk comes with some, nice Western message on the side. Forget the preetzes. I don't mean that. I mean buy this and you'll win this. Yeah, you'll win $1 million. Yeah, like, it's an insult. He would say it's an insult to my intelligence. What do you think, I'm retarded? Excuse me. What do you think, I'm stupid enough to fall? Like, what? I don't want it on my table. It's like embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing. You think I'm going to suddenly buy that? You know, enter this sweepstakes. You know, like, or buy, change the way I would, whatever. It's like, what do you think I am? Like, I don't want that. And it's like embarrassing. Right? What kind of? It all has to do with it. Now, if it doesn't bother us, maybe it doesn't bother us because we don't have a self-image, unfortunately. We're not as great as self-image. Like, who are we? We're covered. We're covered. That's what we are. Our neshamas are covered. That's what they are. Right? They're chashuv. They're chashuv. They're significant. Right? We're a piece of their emotion. We're a tzal malakim. So that means that we're like, we're in a different kind of a darga. It's something. It's a different kind of a darga. It's not small. Oh, I want to tell you something. I read a book over Ben Zmana. That was recommended to me. I enjoyed it tremendously. About a rabbi named Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, who began Yeshiva Shari Yashin. And I appreciate it tremendously. Touched on a lot of things that I think about. And he writes there something so beautiful. He writes the following. He said, it's a different world right now, but he said the following. He said, I had a lot of trials and tribulations in my life. I had a lot of challenges and a lot of failures and a lot of difficulties in my life. But I was successful and I overcame. And Baruch Hashem, he was tremendously successful. Right? And I was able to overcome them and I had a lot of, and I was able to jump the hurdles. And I want to tell you why. Because I had one chassid who never left my side. I had a chassid, someone who would help me no matter what happened. No matter how bad things were, how many mistakes I made, how many, you know, problems I had, how frustrations and you know, mess ups, no matter what happened, he never left my side for an instant. He never ceased to encourage me. Right? Who was that chassid? Myself. And such big words. Right? Words that we all really realize to be true. Just we don't necessarily, you know, consider and think about, we think kind of there's 6.5 billion people in the world in 193 countries. Come on, you mean to tell me that guy, that's the person he cares about is me? Like the whole world? The answer is yeah. Yes. And he proved it twice, right? And we cannot, God forbid, lower ourselves to think, allow ourselves to slip, to think we're not chashim. I want to tell you something. We could speak about this for hours and hours, but don't consider, you know, internalizing and thinking about all the other Torah messages and not this. Don't say, oh yeah, this is nice, what I'm willing to say, but it's not for me. Right? Because you're destroying the world. You're mamish destroying the world. You're destroying the world. Abraham J. Twersky wrote a whole book. It's one of his topics. We talk about this a lot. He wrote a book called Let Us Make Man. Let us not bake man, but let us make man. Nasa Adam. Nasa Adam and Salmanim. The whole topic of the book is about this. I read it many, many years ago. Right? But I want to tell you, it could be! I want to add 2 points to this. Okay? I want to add 2 points to what I'm saying. It could be that some of you, and what I'm saying I think is very critical. Some of you might say, you know what? It might be that, you know, I can see the side that I'm hushing. But you know what? My mother told me that I'm that important. And my father made me feel that I'm silly. I'm unintelligent. And maybe my Rebbe made me feel stupid. So you know what? I'm going to try to control my feelings and try to control what I really want to say. But basically, if you take everything they said and flush it down the toilet. Because maybe they had their own frustrations and their own difficulties. Maybe they said something not so nice to you. And maybe you feel the way you do because maybe somehow your life situation made you feel negative. And if you're a student of psychology, you recognize that so much of the way we feel is the way our parents express to us, the way they made us feel. They made us feel good, we feel good. They made us feel stupid, we feel stupid. I see this in the world. And people can go until 50, 60, 100 years old and still think of themselves in a certain way because that's their impression, their earliest impressions, which is tragic. It gives you an idea of how the achrayas, responsibility of being a parent, being a rebbe. But I'll tell you, you just take it and just start over. I once went more into depth about this point, not for now. But the point is, okay, so come see me. Come talk to me about it. I want to say, I really do. But it's common. And in the world today, everyone has a therapist. Everyone thinks they're stupid. Right, Bible. Someone's a guy who's really pressed about something. He's like, stop being so American. He says, stop being so American. You think you have the right to be to think that you're, you know, like your life stinks? Who gave you that right? Like be a yid, be a strong yid, right? To realize that your chashav is important. That's one ramification. That you have to deal with other, you know, any other message. But I'll have to end with this. I guess part B, second message. Unfortunately, I just didn't realize I had to stop. Whatever. But I had longer. So part B will. It's a different message, anyway. It's different. The Kuda, talk about that a different time, I guess. But I just want to say there's one more very, very important ramification about this teaching, and that is, it's not a stira that the world is created for me and the world is created for you. I mean, obviously, it's like, wait a second, hold on a second. Do you know who I am? The world's created for me. The guy says, all right. Really? Well, the world's created for me. Right? So, right, obviously, we're going to have a problem. We have 6.5 billion people in the world. We might run into some negotiations here. Right? And of course, the truth is, that it's all true. Again, that's why the revolution created it. One person, everyone should realize that the world would have been created. If everyone in the world died today, everyone died, the revolution would say, ah, Uri's here, it's worth creating a war. Just for the whole world. Right? That's this concept, this notion. You have to say it again and again to yourself. You have to say it again and again to yourself. Chayav on the world. But understand, consider the following. If this is true, it's not only true about ourselves. After we finish recognizing this and saying this to ourselves, then you have to realize that it's true for other people as well. That we're obligated to make others feel. Right? By definition, we have to cause other people to feel that they're so chashiv that the whole world was created for them. Just by definition, if I have an obligation to do a mitzvah, you have to help me, right? I have an obligation to feel that I'm the most chashiv. So, that means you're obligated to help me feel that way. You follow, right? You're obligated to help me follow. And part of this, part of the message that I'm sharing with you, I mentioned Rabbi Kleinfeld, he's really a Talmud of Rabbi Hutner. Rabbi Hutner got this. Who was a Talmud of the Altar of Slobodka. This is really a Slobodkin message. This message. It's a Slobodkin secret. Okay? So, they were very into the greatness of Surah of Tzalam Elokim, and Rav Hutner was, he spoke about that. He was machmid. Very machmid. Right? Saying, and Rav Feifeld, you know, like, he took this Nakuda and he went all the way with it. Right? And he said one time, it's just Pasha. He said Shana the Pasuk. And we say every morning, by Yaz Yashir, Va'ata Mechaya Eskulo. Right? Va'ata Mechaya Eskulo. We talk about that in Rosh Hashanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechaya everyone. Right? So Pasha tries Mechaya with life. But we don't create people. Besides the children, we don't cause other people life. The way we cause other people life is by words. We're Mechaya then. We refresh them. Cause them to feel alive by speaking to other people positively and properly and sensitively and nicely. We cause other people to feel great and feel worthy of being alive and feel chashuv, and that's the tachlas of the yid. That's what it means to be a proper Jew. That's what it means. It means to be a proper man. When we treat ourselves, how do we treat ourselves? We treat ourselves the way we have to treat other people. So we realize that how chashuv we are, right? So often this is true. People are insensitive to other people. They say, what do you do that for? It happens to me a lot of times. I hate to say, Nesha Torah. Right? You get street kids, and they're so insensitive. And I realize they weren't over about after the Chakamocha. That's what they know. So that's the way they treat me. I see this in a lot of places. Because people are rude to me. They're not even trying to be rude. They're just, that's what they think. That's the way they expect themselves to be treated. They push online because they, what do you mean? You could push everyone online. They're like animals. You push online. Push. Yeah, what do you mean? You could do it to me also, Rabbi. I don't mind. That's not what I'm trying. I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to raise you also. Everyone should realize, right? So that's, you have to realize. Why should we treat other people chashuv? We don't think we're chashuv. Right? That's the concept. That's the message. That's why the revolution created the world. As he did, that's the message of Parshas Bereishis. That's the message of the Sefer that we read. Right? That's the beginning, the very first beginning. And it's super integral, significant for us to recognize this, to contemplate this, and think about this. We would wish everyone Hatzlacha. I don't know if we'll ever, however we'll learn together. But Shabbat Shalom, have a wonderful smile, and a wonderful year, and a wonderful life, and a wonderful afterlife. I hope you realize how great you are. Thanks for listening.